postgame. So, why does Donald Trump think bankruptcies are a good business idea? I figured it out, but I'm going to do that second. First, let's have a little bit of fun with the hurricane, which is not a thing you normally have fun
with. Right.
Unless you're Donald Trump. But.
Yeah. So, Hurricane Florence, very serious hurricane. There were fatalities, but the Weather Channel, of all places, somehow managed to bungle some of their reporting on it. Mm-hmm. And the way that they did that was over-dramatizing things. So just watch the video and you'll get what I'm saying. I'll give you more details when we come back.
Picking it up here in Wilmington, North Carolina, right at the Intracoastal. And we're in one of these bands. This is about as nasty as it's been. We had some bands like this last night. And then the Iowa, this morning, we were not on TV. It was a dark, raucous night at the hotel. A tree has fallen on a home here in Wilmington, killing a mom and her infant.
So as you can see, for those who aren't watching the video version of the post game, there's a Weather Channel reporter doing what weather reporters usually do. He's in the middle of the hurricane, supposedly, and he's like struggling to stay upright as the wind is blowing. And so it looks like it's serious, but then right behind him, there's two individuals just casually walking, and they will not get out of the shot, by the way.
Yeah.
They're just walking all over the place in the back, and they do not look like they're struggling at all.
It was almost like an SNL skit. The only way that it would have been more of a contrast is if there was a little lady in a stroller, you know, right? Or in a walker.
Walker, sorry.
In a stroller, that would have been fascinating, but a different skit. Mm-hmm. Okay, anyway, here's why. I have so many fun things to say about this. This is what they live for. And so this is, so every reporter that covered 9/11 has it on their resume. Every reporter that covered Iraq has it on their resume. Now, I always found that to be curious. Every sports reporter that covered the Olympics has it on their resume. Like, okay, that means you happened to be at NBC when NBC had the Olympics.
Are you supposed to put that stuff in your resume?
Yeah. Like all.
So like every, like, I don't know, the RNC and DNC.
Oh, yeah. You should have all of your resume. But we actually covered those conventions. At the convention, we actually did stuff, right?
Exactly, yeah.
We were in a storm worse than that, actually, when JR left the building. You remember that famous story?
Yes, I do. it was raining and it was super windy, thunder. And you know, there was some reason to believe that the tent that we were in was going to blow over. JR did, by the way, I'm on air with Cenk, and Cenk is like, no, we're not going anywhere. Continue. JR's like, bye. Just left.
JR's like, bye, Felicia.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair to JR, I've told this story before. He was at the entrance of the tent. He's like, if I need to, I'll come back. If I need to, I will go the other direction.
Yeah.
Okay. And he said he looked around the corner, and it was the Complex Media team, which is African American.
Yeah.
And they're like, what are you doing still in the tent? So anyways, first of all, let's just note that that's absurd. Like, if you went to Iraq, okay, you risked your life a little bit, and so I get that part. But you happen to be in New York on 9/11, I don't know what, like, it's a weird thing to get credit for it. It almost reminds me of Giuliani demanding credit for showing up to the scene of a crime, mm-hmm, right, on 9/11, as we've talked about. But the weather reporters, they're like, yes, a hurricane. They can get famous if there's a particularly amazing clip, mm-hmm, and et cetera. So, and he says in this case, and it's Mike Seidel, and I kind of feel bad for him at this point.
Do you really?
A little bit.
No, he's
because
drunk.
That's what they all do. He's just the one that got caught with his hand in the cookie jar.
Okay, so if everyone jumps off a cliff, is he going to jump off a cliff?
What are you, my mom?
Yeah, I know, but it's stupid, you know? Like, everyone in cable news lies about everything. Like,
okay, yeah. So fine, yeah. Mike Seidel, if that's how you pronounce your name, I take my pity back.
Yeah, no pity for you.
Anyway, and he said, quote, this is about as nasty as it's been. Oh, come on, and then the guy's casually strolling in the back, okay? And the Weather Channel had to put out a statement saying, well, look, he was in wet grass, they were on concrete.
Oh yeah, that explains everything.
Oh yeah, and that he was really tired from covering the storm all night. Dude, you see how he had that wide stance, and not like Larry Craig, but like how he had the wide stance, like, oh, like he's buffeting himself. The others didn't have a wide stance, they're just walking normal.
Yeah.
And you don't do that if you're tired. If you're tired, you're not like, oh, seek their Lord. Oh, right?
Yeah. I don't want to see anyone reporting from the middle of any type of storm. Like, that doesn't add credibility to what you're doing. I think it would be perfectly fine if you're in a safe place, giving us information that we otherwise wouldn't know about. I don't need to see you struggling in the wind to believe that you're credible.
So I've also mentioned this, I think just one time before, but not in this context. There's a reason why they used to do live shots, but they forgot, and they just keep doing them. So the live shot was when it was first, the technology first came about. They're like, you know, you can actually go outside the studio. So if there is a protest going on, for example, in your area, in your city, you can send a reporter there, and then you're in the middle of the action. And that was amazing and really cool and interesting. And there were live shots when the schools were being integrated in Arkansas. And, you know, what was the governor going to do? And, you know, the KKK there and the other white races were, what were they going to do to the kids? And you were going live to the scene, and it was really interesting, and there was
compelling.
A reason for it. Yes.
Yeah.
Now they forgot that that's why they did it in the first place. 9 out of 10 local news reports on the scene, quote unquote, we'll start with, earlier today there was something interesting behind me. Right?
Yeah.
There was a robbery in the store behind me. There was an accident in the freeway behind me. It got cleaned up 15 hours ago, but they sent my ass out here because we're supposed to be live.
Yeah, there's
and in the
nothing
field.
Happening in the shop behind me. There's nothing happening. Like, there was a bank robbery, so like naturally they'll do their live shot in front of the bank as if we don't know what a bank looks like. It's just so ridiculous.
So now you'll love this part of the story. So when Ben and I were doing local news in Miami, but we were doing it in a different way at a station called Miami, we did several shots where we would mock that. We would send someone to a gas station, and then they'd be like, earlier today people were selling gas here. So that one, I think, I'm pretty sure we did. I'm not positive. But perfectly pertinent to this, Mark Mooney, who was one of our best reporters there and a great, great guy. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you a funny thing he said about, two funny things he said about me a little bit later. Anyway, we had a hurricane that was bearing down on Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Again, all the details are fuzzy. I don't remember if it was connected to that or another weather story.
Mm-hmm.
But we had him out there. And a raincoat, and the wind is coming, and the rain is blowing, and it's just like this. Like, wow. And then we zoom out, and we show that there's a fan, and we're throwing water on him. Okay, and he's like, later today, there will be a big storm here. Okay, and we were mocking what all the other people do in the middle of the story. He's like, but right now, if I remember any of the details right, he took off the raincoat. We don't need that at all, right?
Yeah.
And so we were kind of basically breaking down local news and showing you how absurd it was. So, God, well, by the way, and so Mark would walk around. He was a veteran of local news and news overall. And he would say to the people in our little bunker at Whammy, these are our halcyon days. Don't forget these days. It doesn't get any better than this, okay? Because he had worked at all those crappy local stations. And the fact that we were allowed to actually cover the news as it was, that we got to have fun with it, and then did stories. We won endless Emmys.
You didn't tell me that.
Yes.
You won Emmys. That's
no, big... no, no, not me. Let's keep
but
it
you
real.
Were part of the team. You were part.
No,
of...
I was. I was head writer. Eventually, I was supervising producer.
Yeah, it's a big deal. You've won Emmys.
I wonder if that does mean I won Emmys. I don't know. The reporters won a lot of Emmys.
I think it does. I don't know.
Well,
I'll
have to look into it.
I don't really care.
By the way, be careful what you wish for. If it turns out that I had anything to do with those Emmys.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
I'm like, I mean, I'm not saying I'm Emmy-winning news producer Cenk Uygur, but anyway, no, kidding aside, this is such a long story. I'll make this portion quick. We'll tell other parts of it on another day. Is that we would we had a system before I became the supervising producer. It was MJ Wood, who I praise all the time, was our executive producer.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful, strong woman who taught me how to be a good boss in a lot of ways. She had devised a system where half the reporters would be working on long-term projects and half the reporters would be working on day of. Mm-hmm. Whereas in local news, everybody else was just working on day of, so they never got a chance to develop anything. Mm. So our reporters would actually get to do investigations half the time. Mm. So that's why we won more Emmys than anyone else, because we tried. So we'd go out there busting them up. That's the famous, one of the famous clips when Ben goes in and catches the guy who was ripping off, the movers who were ripping off people. And then the guy hits him with the lead bar.
Wait. Someone hit Ben with a lead bar?
You don't know that story?
No, what the hell?
You don't know it either?
You never said it.
Oh, really?
Oh, look at this guy, like, you know, hiding all the store, like, hiding all the news stories. Come on, tell me, what happened?
No. It's too big a story.
Did he get hurt?
Okay. All right. Look, guys, I got to cancel other things. So what I learned about the Trump bankruptcies and why he does them will be another postgame. Don't worry. I got like 8 postgames saved up for you guys. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, all right, fine. So we did a lot of stories on movers. There was a lot of shady movers in Miami.
Uh-huh.
By the way, half of them were Russian. And I'm being kind by saying half. Anyways, unrelated to anything else, okay. So just a fun side note, don't get all worked up, okay. There are Russians who work here. The other side now, you get worked up over that. So anyway, Ben was doing one of those stories. And what these guys would do is they would take the furniture and kidnap it.
What do you mean?
Like you would have been livid over it.
Oh, I would murder people. Oh, like, yeah, not literally.
Okay, so.
Depending on what the item is. But
I got you. No, they take all your woodwork, okay. Oh. And they'd go, okay, now it's gonna cost you 4 times as much. You're like, what the fuck, what do you mean? What do you mean it's gonna cost me? You have my stuff. He's like, yeah, I do. What are you gonna do about it? Okay, it was outrageous. And there was like all these different layers of scams, but that one was the most brazen. So we would send reporters to go, oh, we're here to investigate where the furniture is. And they'd never seen that before. So they were like, what is this, right? Mm-hmm. And so Ben showed up at the guy's house. And he's like, it appears that that's the truck right there in front of your house. And I wanted to ask you questions about it. And the guy goes, yeah, come on in. Oh, he told it in an old school. That's why some of you might know. Okay, yeah, come on in. Okay. Uh-huh. Ben comes in and Ben's like, what is going on? And then he saw him reach for something. He thought he was going to agree to an interview. Then he saw him reach for something. He's like, oh no, this is where I die. Okay. And he thought it was a gun. But luckily, it wasn't a gun. It was just a lead pipe. Okay. And bam, he hit Ben in the leg. And you see Ben drop the mic and run out of the house going, fuck. Okay, because he just got hammered on the leg with a lead pipe, okay?
And then what happened?
Okay.
This is the most crazy story you've ever told. I can't even believe that this is happening. Okay, more.
No, we were real. We were reporters. We would, we tried fascinating things. It was actually a wonderful little experiment down there in Miami. And and we met all these great people, and that's why we like each other and, et cetera. Anyway.
Did he get hurt?
He got a little hurt, but luckily he was okay. Didn't do permanent damage, and then of course he called the police, and then that guy got in a lot of trouble.
Good. Did he press charges or anything? Knowing Ben, he'd be like, eh.
I don't remember. Some of you might remember better if you listened to that old school where Ben explained the whole story.
Yeah.
But I can't remember if he went to jail. I don't think so. If Ben pressed charges,
that's assault.
That's
with
the definition
a deadly
of
weapon,
assault.
By the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, but my recollection is he at least got the people their furniture back.
Ben's a good guy.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
And so we had this guy, John Mattis, who now works in progressive circles. Man, you want to talk about Mad Dog Mattis? That was him. If he got on your case, you were done, son. Like he would dig and dig and dig.
I like it.
If you saw John Mattis and you were a crook, that's the last guy you saw while you were still free. Okay, so I remember this one funny woman was trying to get Mattis off her
case.
I think she was just a receptionist. I don't think she was a crook, but she came out and she's like, be gone, poof. There were so many hilarious moments.
Was that on tape?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. We got to bring back those old tapes. I don't know where they are. So the reason we remember the Lord's Gym shirt that we were talking about, mm-hmm. that Hostile wears?
Yes.
That was one of our other reporters, Laura, had done a story about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah. And, you'll love this one. I might have told you one other time. John Mattis started investigating the meter maids who were giving everybody tickets because they were parking illegally.
The meter maids, right?
The meter maids.
They do it all the time. They do it all the time. God damn it.
And he busted them.
Yeah.
And he won an Emmy for that story.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
They do it all the time.
John was like, excuse me, you appear to be parked illegally. I believe your job is to ticket people for parking illegally.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're like, ah!
I love a good parking-related story.
I knew you would.
Yeah.
I mean, it involves furniture that you love.
Yeah.
I mean, we were the good guys, man.
Yeah.
We went and tried to get people justice. Parking stories, if we threw a housing story in there, it'd be perfect for you.
Oh, I would be so angry if someone tried to play that game with me.
Oh, yeah.
So
back to Mark Mooney. So he would talk about how it's the halcyon days. And for a lot of those guys, it was. I mean, we created a new halcyon days here. But a lot of them went back. We just had our 20th year reunion because we're super old of Whammy. Mm-hmm. And that's what I went to Miami for in June for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
And, a lot of people went on to have really, really great careers. Some of them are actually so at the top of the industry. And some just kept working in local news. It's kind of a little bit of a miserable experience, right?
Mm.
And so they're like, nah, we're still plugging away. What are we going to do? And Mooney was right. Those were the best of days for a lot of folks.
I mean, at least he acknowledged it and other people like accepted that. Because the worst is when you're having the best time of your life and you don't realize it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you look back and you're like, oh, I had it so good. Why didn't I enjoy it? I think that happens to a lot of people.
So Mooney was super fun and he loved to make fun of me, but unlike John Iarullo, I enjoyed it, okay? So I used to work in sales. That was my way of getting into the building. You guys have heard that story before. And then I finally got my way down to, because it was on the lower floor, into content, into the actual news show. And I worked up from writer to senior producer to supervising producer. Supervising producer means second in charge of the show. So day to day, you're in charge. You assign stories. You pick which anchors are going to fill in when Ben's out of town because he was the lead anchor, etc. And Mooney would walk around and go, "Remind me again why I'm taking orders from the sales kid." Okay. And at one point, I said, "Look, as I said earlier." And I probably said it in an even worse way. He's like, let me just pause here to note that megalomaniacs quote themselves. Okay, that's who quotes themselves. But anyway, continue. Okay, you would have loved Mark.
Yeah, he sounds fun.
Yeah, in Mad as Hell trailer, it's not in the movie, it's only in the trailer. There's that scene where Mark and I mm-hmm. are doing the boxing ring.
You remember me in the boxing? Mark. That was Mark.
That's
okay.
Mark, yeah.
Oh.
Mark served in Nam. But I can't tell you why he joined the Navy. But suffice to say, one reason was much smaller chance of dying, right? He's like, keep it real, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the other reasons I can't tell you.
Okay.
Okay, so Mark was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so those were our Whammy days. That scene where we had him out there doing the fake hurricane was awesome.
Yeah, I can't believe someone attacked Ben with a lead pipe and I didn't know about it.
Look, guys.
I feel like I was robbed of that information until now.
I would tell you that I'm going to try to find you the Whammy tapes. And from time to time, some of you find it online. But it's going to be hard. I wish we had them conveniently somewhere because mm-hmm. they were great, great tapes.
What were the years?
98 to 2000. So
wow.
98, 99, 2000. I went to Whammy in 98, but I didn't join the Times until 99.
Mm.
And Ben was not the original anchor. It was Amy, Amy Atkins.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ben got, when Amy went for another job, it was a big question as to who was going to be the big new lead anchor, and mm-hmm. Ben won. And so that was a big deal at the time. I remember, look, I'll end on this. I remember one time, when I was still in sales as the sales kid, Ben and I started talking about, and we don't know each other at all. And we had our, like our first conversation, and we started talking about fantasy football. And we're like, you know us, we're like, oh yeah, this, and talk for like 15 minutes.
Yeah, and, sounds terrible.
This is a confession because it's kind of awkward, and I, you know, I'm a little embarrassed by it. But I remember thinking at the time, oh, the lead anchor just talked to me.
Aw, that's super sweet. I like that.
Well,
yeah, it's a big deal. Yeah. So, I never felt that way about you, though.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. Well, I'm not sure anyone does. But I think that's a good thing. Anyway, and then we became better friends. Maybe one day, for those of you who haven't heard it, and there's a lot of new members, right, that never heard any of these stories, I'll tell you the story of how Ben got me the job in the first place. Not the sales job, but the head writer job for him. Mm-hmm. Okay? That story has a lot of ups and downs.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. Much love. We'll see you tomorrow.